بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا، welcome to our lesson. In the previous video, it would be very important and useful to have had sight of the previous lesson or previous video, just to help you understand today's topic. But if you haven't, don't worry about it. Inshallah ta'ala, I will try my utmost best to help you and to make sense of this, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so what is our topic today and what are we covering in today's lesson? So I want to look at the discussion on what's called a simile in English. We'll use the word simile. It's a nice word, nice simple word to help us understand. In Arabic, we call this word isti'arah. Okay, the word is isti'arah in Arabic, and that's the word that is used. Now, isti'arah is not a separate topic on its own. It's to do with what we talked about in the previous video, to do with haqiqa and majaz. If you remember, when we looked at haqiqa and majaz, we looked at quite a lot of detail. I think we spent two lessons between haqiqa and majaz. Now the question here, and this is where isti'ara comes in, is that how do we make the transition from haqiqa to majaz? Or how do we go back to majaz, from majaz to haqiqa? What is the mechanism through which we are able to do that? And that's why isti'ara comes in here. So the author, it makes sense that he will bring isti'ara here, because you will see in this video, in this lesson, inshallah ta'ala, why isti'ara is important. So isti'ara is basically the connection between haqiqa and majaz, or majaz and haqiqa. In other words, when can a word legitimately change from its literal meaning to a figurative expression, or from a figurative expression to a literal meaning? What is a mechanism? This is what isti'ara allows us to do. And we will do this now before we move into the next topic in the next video, inshallah ta'ala. And so what the book does, if we are following Usul al-Shafi, not necessarily, but I'll mention it here, is that he says that there are two ways in which isti'ara is permitted. I'm just going to mention them here. And then what we'll do is we will go through them in with examples, just to make it really easy for you, inshallah ta'ala. One is that the haqiqa and the intended meaning are connected by what's called an illah. Okay. And the second one is where the other is when the haqiqa connects to the intended meaning by sabab. Now, before we go into this, I'm aware that some students will struggle if I just start going into examples. So let me just give you some like examples to understand this through some concrete examples rather than keeping it too theoretical. So, and you must forgive me for my poor drawing skills, but I'll give you an idea. Right, say for example, there's a well. This is a well with water inside. I want to take water out of the well. So let's do the well here. I want to extract water out of the well to get water. Okay, so this is where I want to get to. I want to get to a well. From a well, I want to get to a water, get some water. What am I going to use? What's the most immediate tool that I need, and the most immediate medium or apparatus that I do need to get me to that? Of course, that's going to be the bucket. Very poor diagram, but I need a bucket. That's the obvious way that I'm going to get water out of a well. That's the immediate tool, the most opposite way. And this is what we call illah. So the illah is the bucket, if you like, in this example. So the illah is the immediate way you would get water out, because the bucket is directly involved in scooping water. And thus is the illah from before this. That's how it works. Simple as that. We do have some technical jargon just to help you. And basically, the way the ulama talk about this is that what we call Oh, that shouldn't have happened. We'll go back to our America. So the illa is an immediate medium and apparatus by which something is achieved. In this case, it's the bucket. And water is extracted from a well using a bucket. So the bucket is directly involved in scooping out the water, and thus is an illa for the, how the outcome of extracting the water is achieved. And the outcome is the is a hukum, if you like. That's the outcome. Okay. And the illa, and when considered, we'll be called a ma'lul. So we call it ma'lul. Okay. So illa and ma'lul. What is a direct way I achieve what I need to achieve? I'm just giving this as an example. So we've just given, I've just given an example of illa. The sabab is basically you achieve the outcome, but what is the indirect way you can get it? So for example, to give you an example of the sabab, so let me just label it here. I might use a rope. Okay, so it's a way in which the illa allows us to achieve that goal. So I might use a rope, just kind of a rope there. I might use a rope, but I might use a cup, right? I might use many other mechanisms. These are all called suburbs. These are all called suburbs to achieve a particular outcome. Let me give you another example, maybe two more examples just to show you. So another way of thinking about illa is, for say, for example, I need to get from A to B. Okay. What is the direct way of getting from A to B? That's walking. That would be called the illa. That's the most obvious, immediate way of getting from A to B. But what is the what will allow me to go along that way? Will be a footpath, a path. That's called a suburb. That's called a suburb. That's how it works. So basically, if you want to think about it this way, illa is the immediate way of achieving a certain outcome. And suburb is kind of what is not immediate, but it can be many other ways. So for example, I could get from A to B by walking. I could get there by driving a car or whatever else. But the immediate way is the walking. That's how it works. I'll give you one more example just to kind of really flesh this out. So I'll do it here, inshallah ta'ala. So illa, just to remind ourselves, is an assigned cause for the ruling, right? And the sabab only leads to the ruling, although it wasn't assigned for that purpose. It wasn't like the rope wasn't for that purpose, the car wasn't for that purpose, the path wasn't that purpose. In the first example, it was a bucket that was for that specific purpose of getting water out. It was walking that is the specific purpose of reaching that destination. So for example, let me give you like an abstract example. When you think about purchasing, and this is an example that we'll come back to in the rest of this video. When you think about purchasing, what is the purpose of purchasing? Ownership. So purchasing is the illa of ownership. Right? Why do you purchase something? To gain ownership over it. Okay. When you have ownership of it, how do you get ownership? You purchase something. You think about both of those. Okay. But you might purchase something, and you might get other things out of it. Like if you were to purchase a slave, female slave, just use an example, you might get sexual rights. But that's not the reason you purchase a slave. The main reason is incidental. The main reason is ownership. That's the illa, and that's called the sabab. What caused you to get sexual rights is purchasing. What is the purpose of purchasing ownership? What does ownership lead? What is the cause? What leads to purchasing? So you can see that in this one, in the illa, you have a back and forth. In this one, it only works that way, right? If you think about it that way. It indirectly, in terms of the sabab, it indirectly leads to sexual rights. So this one, the illa, it's a sabab for it. I hope that makes sense. So if you want to think about it another way, it's just illa is what directly connects you to the outcome. The sabab is an outcome, but it's not a direct outcome. That's all you need to remember. So I've given you three examples here, different examples, just to get you thinking. And when you're teaching this to students, do this with your students. So get them to think about something that you're acquiring and how do you acquire it. What is the main reason you acquire that for, and what are incidental factors that will give you that? Now, why is all of this important? What on earth has this got to do with istiara? Well, if you just remember this for a second, the rule is, And this is where this, what we've just drawn, comes into use. And the rule is quite simple. The rule says that isti'ara is permitted. Oh, let me go back to my old one. That might actually be easier. Maybe a different color. Just play it for you. The rule says that when it comes to isti'ara, and when it comes to illa and sabab, these two, in illa, you can go back and forth. In other words, you can go between the cause, the illa, and you can go back and forth between them. Okay. So, in other words, you can say something, a word in illa is al majaz intends the meaning of the ma'lu and vice versa, by actually ma'lu figure attributing the illa. So, you can use the illa, for example, in this example, you can do this. You can say that and mean that, right? But you can say that and mean that. So you can work between them. Because the well leads to the water, water leads to the well. You can do that with illa, right? Or walking, you can do that. You can say, you can mean walking, to reaching destination by walking. But when it comes to sabab, it only works this way. So what they're saying is that when it comes to illa, it works back and forth. You can mean the hakika, mean the majaz. Majaz mean the hakika. But when it comes to sabab, it can only mean one way. Okay? So just to repeat that for you, and this is the ruling, that one can say that illa, a word that is illa, so one can use the word bucket, and as al-majaz intend the meaning of ma'lul, and vice versa by uttering the ma'lul and figuratively meaning the illa. So someone can say bucket and mean the water, someone can say water and mean the bucket. However, when it comes to sabab, the indirect meaning is a sabab and al-majaz. So, however, one can also say a word that is al-sabab and as al-majaz, as al-majaz intended meaning the al-musabab, but the reverse is not permitted. So, you cannot utter the al-musabab and figuratively intend the sabab, for example. So, for example, in this case, you can't say path and intend the hakiki meaning, which is reached the destination, right? So that's how sabab and illa work. So this is why isti'ara is important. This isti'ara is a mechanism between how we move between hakika and majaz. And you have to first and foremost work out. So this is the map. When you have hakika and majaz, you have to work out, is it illa or is it majaz? Is it sabab, sorry? Okay. If it's an illa, you can go back and forth between both of them. If it's not, you can only go in this direction, like we've done today. I hope that makes sense. I'll give you some examples, inshallah, and it'll become absolutely clear. So if you're still confused, don't worry. You can ask me questions at the end, but we'll also go through some examples. This is just the theory. And sometimes, it's better to teach the examples, but I want you to get this theory out, because a lot of people get this confused. Now, reason for the illa is that the illa is inseparable from the ma'lul, and vice versa. It's directly related to each other. Right. For example, in this case, the bucket will directly scoop up the water, and the walking will directly enable you to reach your destination. And because there's this direct and immediate connection between them, that's why when it comes to illa, they're both interchangeable. But when you think about the rope, right, which is indirect, the rope enable you to scoop water off from the well. And the path, in example, using the right path or using the right car, will allow you to reach your destination. But neither of these, the rope or nor the pathway or the car, for example, are directly responsible for the outcome in each case. They're not directly responsible. You could have taken a different way. You could have walked a different path, a different type of path. You could have driven a car. You could have gone on a plane. In the bucket example, you could have used a rope, or you could have gone into a well and take it out with your own bare hands, right? So this is a figurative meaning. So it can only be used due to this indirect connection. The source and effect can figuratively mean the outcome, because the illa must have been present to reach the outcome. So illa is direct, okay? So when it comes to illa, it can work both ways because there's a direct connection. When it comes to sabab, it can only work in one direction, okay? It can only reach, it's not necessary. That's what I was always saying here. All right. Now, this after all of this, going through these discussions, let's go through some case examples. Let's look at some examples just to really help us. Inshallah, you know, I'm happy to take some questions. I'm hoping that these examples, inshallah ta'ala, all will be made clear for you. Let's look at some examples. And sometimes these examples for our students, because there's a lot going on in the examples sometimes, and students get confused. But let's just take it nice and easy and think about it as we go through. So we've talked about isti'ara. We've talked about the rulings. So first of all, you have to ask yourself, when you do haqiq and majaz, I need to do isti'ara. Once I do isti'ara, okay, is it a sabab, indirect, or is it illa, is it direct? Okay. And so let's go through this. Okay. So we're going to go for examples between illa and ma'lul, and then we're going to do it the other way around. We'll do that first, and then this is then the second example will be between sabab and musabab, but if you only take one direction. So let's look at this in detail. So sometimes drawing this out helps. Okay, so there's two words in Arabic for ownership. Now the Arabic word for ownership is al-milk. I'll just do it. So al-milk, ownership, would help if I can write it properly. Ownership. That's the word for ownership. And the word for purchasing is ashira. This is the word for purchasing. Purchasing. I'm going to use this example, this feedback. Is there a connection? So if someone uses the word milkiya, or someone uses the word shira, can this work? Okay. So the connection between the two words is of illa and ma'lul. Because when you purchase something, so I shouldn't have did it around, but when you purchase something, you end up owning it. In other words, purchasing is the direct cause. Right? Direct cause. When you why do you purchase something? Because you want to own it. So because it's a direct cause, we call it an illa. It's not an indirect cause. You purchase something for the explicit reason to own it. Okay. Once you buy something, you literally own that item. Okay. And so because there's a direct relationship between you, between two words, one can be figuratively used to mean the other. Okay. So we've done isti'ara here. So what we've done is, if you think about it, you have two words, or you had one word. Is there haqiq and majaz between them? You ask yourself a question. Then you said, okay, well, I need to work out if it's illa sabab. It's a direct cause, therefore we call it illa. Okay. So if I say, you know, I own something, it basically means I purchased it. If I say I purchased something, it basically means I own it. Right? So there's a direct cause and we call it illa. That's how haqiq and majaz work. And because of the illa, remember we said before that it works in illa, it works both ways. Okay. From both sides. So isti'ara is performed or permitted rather from both sides. So we're going to look at some examples, and the rulings that might come out from there. So, and you need to just follow these examples, but they're quite straightforward. So he doesn't go into the basic example, which is that if I say, I purchased something, of course it means that I own it. If I say I own something, of course it means that I purchased it. Right? So he doesn't go into that example, but he uses a slightly different example. This is what the usulis do. They don't go through the things that are already known. They go through some of the more complex examples just to show you how it really works in reality. So say somebody says, if I own a slave, he's free. If I own a slave, he is free. Okay. Literally says, if in a literal sense, somebody says, if I own a slave, milkiya, so milk is the word that's been stressed used here. If I own a slave, he's free. Right? Basically, this in our basic example means that he's purchased it. Right? It implies because, like we said, they can work both ways. If he purchases him, then he's free. If he purchases a slave, then he owns that slave. So that's a simple example. But what if we want to take it a step further? So say he buys half the slave. So he buys half a slave. He buys half. He buys half a slave. This is, or he buys half an item. Right, doesn't matter. If he says, you know, if I own a car, then my slave is free. If I own a car, then if I buy a car, then I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. Whatever it means. It could be anything, but we're just using this example. So if somebody says, if I own a slave, he is free. Okay. Now what happens? This person goes to the market and he buys half a slave and then he sells it. Nicely tied into profit. He buys half an item or shares in an item and then he sells it. Okay. And then he goes back to the market. And what he does is he buys the other half. Buys the other half. Okay. He buys the other half of the slave. And the question is, will the slave be free? Well, you could ask yourself, when you say you own something, what do you mean by it? Okay. And that when people say I own something, when people use this word milkiyah, they mean they own it entirely. Okay. Clearly, when he bought half the slave, he sold it and then he bought another half. He never owned the entire slave. It doesn't mean a share of it, right? So therefore, slave is not free. Simple. Just really straightforward example. Right? And you can use many examples. In your classroom, you might want to say, you know, if I buy a second house, I will divorce my wife, right? Or if I own a house, I will divorce my wife. Or if I own this, you can use many, many examples just to get students to really think about this. If I own a laptop, then I will fast for 3 days. Whatever. You can use many, many examples like this, right? Just use any examples to get students to think about it. Okay. The point is that he hasn't had entire ownership, because when you say ownership, it must mean entire ownership. He's owned half of it, but not the other half. So therefore, he is not free. His slave is not free. Because the norm is that when someone says ownership, when someone says I own something, the normal understanding of that is entire ownership, right? It doesn't mean that you buy part of it. So if I say, for example, if I own a laptop, I will divorce my wife, and then I own a quarter of a share, right? I don't own the house. So how can I divorce my wife, for example? So this is how it works. Okay. So it's not understood in a gradual sense. It's understood that you own the entire thing. Okay. Now take another example. If somebody says, I'm doing a different color for you. If I can. Somebody says, for example, if I purchase, you know what purchase, not one, compare that one. If I purchase a slave, he is free. Now, purchasing is different to ownership in the sense that in ownership is entirely, but in purchasing, it can be understood in installments. Okay? That's norm. If you purchase, you can't purchase something bit by bit. So, for example, in this example above, if he was to buy only to buy half a slave and then sell that share later on, and later he bought the other half of the slave, this half of the slave would be free, right? Because he's purchased an entire slave. He's purchased a slave. Okay, that is quite normal to purchase something in installments. So then when someone says, I purchased something, it's commonly acceptable that it might be just for an initial installment with other installments that might come later on. So when you say, if you bear this in mind, if I purchase a service fee, and this has occurred in installments. So the first half of the share of the slip will not be free because you sold it and you no longer have a right over it. But the second half of the share will be free as you purchase a slip, even though it's in installments. Okay, because when you say a purchase slip, it doesn't mean, when you use the word purchase, it doesn't necessarily mean the entire thing, the entire item. There's a difference between milk and shira. That's what he's saying here. Right. Both of these cases, the ones that we just looked at right now, are talking about it in the context of haqiqa. Okay, so we haven't done the majaz yet. This is just to give you an insight. This is to do. It's quite possible in both of these cases, however, that they could have used it in a majaz sense. They could have used it in a majaz sense by way of isti'ara. So, for example, like we said, if someone said, if he said, in this case, ownership, he meant purchasing. If he said purchasing, he meant ownership. So, how do we know? Right? So, we've established that when you have direct relation, you can use it both ways. So there's you can possibly use it in the majazi sense because you can use it both ways. So somebody here could argue that if I own a slave, what I meant here was installments, therefore the slave is free. And here in the same sense here, the purchaser could have used the word purchase, but he meant ownership. And so therefore the slave isn't free. So how do you work this out? So this is when you get into legal discussions. But I think the basic idea you've understood now, which is that milk and shira, owning and purchasing, are directly related to each other. And there's an illa between them. And you can use it in both ways. You can use the word literally milk and mean majaz. Or you could read a majazi meaning and mean the literal meaning, right? As explained here. Okay? Because there's a connection between the two words. So what happens in reality is, because what's going to happen is when this goes to a court of law, for example, the judge is going to have to make a decision. How is he going to know? So what happens is if it goes to a court, for example, the ruling really is that it works, and we don't have time to go into it now. They talk about it in the books of fiqh, the usul of fiqh. It works against the issuer of the statement. The one who said it works against them. That's how you resolve this tension, if you like. So in the case of somebody saying, if I own a slave, he is free. Who said this? The owner, right? And we said that both half of the slaves will not be free. But the verdict will be given that the second half is free. So we'll take it, the second half free, just like if he had said this. This is because the issue of the statement is going to benefit in the first case, okay, on the basis of his intention. And thus, a man will not be granted freedom should we take the intention into consideration. If he says, well, I intended this. So the verdict will go against the issue of the statement, but it will be acknowledged by the court that despite a negative verdict, the integrity of the issue is upheld. There's nothing wrong with the issue. It's just that we need to resolve this somehow. Okay. So the reason why the slave is free is just a matter of integrity. The principles here, not because istiara is valid from both sides. Okay, so that's kind of that one done. I hope that's clear, straightforward, inshallah. Just got that, keep that. Okay, so let's look at this in more detail, inshallah. So, we just clarified that in illa, when it's a direct clause, works between both ways. Right, goes in both directions between haqiqa and majaz, majaz and haqiqa. With sabab, we discussed, we haven't done a detailed example yet. When we talked about sabab, we said that you can only go in one direction. Okay. Sabab and its consequence. That it's permitted from the cause to the resulting consequence. So you can go from the cause or to the effect. Consequence, whatever you want to call it. You can do that. But within that, you can go in both directions. Okay. not the other way around. So I hope that's clear. So we've done illa. We've looked at an example of illa. Okay. Right. So let's look at an example, see how this works. And this will just make it a lot more clear for you, inshallah ta'ala. So, two words. Okay. Let me write sabab and musabab. Remember, we can only go in this direction. So, for example, there's two words in Arabic that are part of the conversation here. So, tahrir. Freedom. It's for freedom now. Tahrir is freedom. Okay. Someone uses that word, it can also lead to what's called talaq. Now, the first thing, obviously, what you would do normally is when you have a hakiki majaz debate, you go through isti'ara, you ask yourself, is it illa or is it sabab? And as you will see, this is not a case of illa, there's no direct connection between these two, freedom and talaq. There's no direct connection between them. One is the consequence of something, but not necessarily so. Not necessarily, it can be other ways. For example, there's other ways that a person can get talaq, for example. Okay, so anyway, let's go through this example. So the example of this type is given through two words, tahrir meaning freedom and talaq meaning divorce. So somebody says to his wife, I need you. The word that we're looking at here. I have freed you. And intended divorce is going to be valid. Right, so somebody has said to his wife, he said something and his intended divorce to his wife, then divorce will be valid. In other words, it will work this way. Okay, because the literal meaning understood from the word free is giving up authority or ownership. It's a literal meaning. And so there's no authority, there's no rights to access without a person. So in other words, by saying you are free, in a literal sense, the person who said that would no longer have ownership over that person. Or if that person was a slave, for example, they said it to their slave, I have freed you, then they have no access to that slave. Okay. This basically means that tahrir is a suburb for giving up rights of ratification. What we call zawal milkul mut'a. Okay. So word freedom, tahrir, is not assigned for this meaning. It's not specifically for tala. It's not specifically assigned for giving up ownership, and nor is it really understood connected to this meaning. Yeah, it's not understood of giving up sexual access. No, understood that way. But it's a pathway. It's a means. It's a medium, like we said before. It's a pathway, like a car or the rope or something that leads to this particular outcome. Okay. So tahrir is not normally connected to this meaning, but it leads to this meaning like a pathway. So this is like a sabab, not an illa. Okay. So the word free is a sabab, and divorce is a musabab, like we talked about here. And we've said that you can move in this direction. So someone uses this word, it can be meant, understood as talaq because of the sabab, which is what wa'illa does anyway. But here it's indirect. Illa is direct. Okay. And so if the husband intended divorce, by saying, I have freed you, then she will indeed be divorced. Okay. Remember, like, there are, you know, the way to think about this is there are also other ways to relinquish, to divorce or to relinquish ownership. So you can't be the direct cause. There are lots of other ways that a divorce can happen. Many, many other ways. Right. But it's not a direct cause. Now, because of that, you can only move in one direction, not in the other direction. So talaq cannot be, mean freedom, for example. So somebody says to, you know, his slave, that I give you talaq, it cannot mean freedom. Can't work. It can't work this way. It's not allowed. Okay. I hope that's clear to everyone, inshallah ta'ala. That's all it is. There's nothing too complicated there, inshallah ta'ala. Now, there's a footnote here, which I just want to share with you because you're all brilliant students, alhamdulillah. And this is like a tangential question. It's not really tied to the principle that we're looking at, but the author does, and this is worth just thinking about. Now, what we've said so far, and the question is this. This is the question. That using the word free figuratively, so the word free, I don't know, figuratively, can mean divorce. Because you can do that from a suburb perspective. You can do it in direction. That's fine, you can do that. Now, when one replaces another in this manner of al-madad, you should also have all options available that would normally be available. So, should this not mean that the word free takes on the full functions of the word divorce? In other words, when you say free, should it not mean that it should be fully divorced? That the word free takes on the full function of the word divorce in that there is an option to deliver a raj'i divorce. A raj'i divorce is what's called, we call it revocable. In other words, you can take your wife back in various ways. Should it also mean that you should also be able to do the repair? In other words, should you not have all the options? Right? So one's called Rajdi, which is a revocable one, and Ba'in is a irrevocable one. You don't have, there's no opportunity to take it back. So they're saying this is the outcome of it. But you're saying in Hanafi faith that when you say free, only this one applies, irrevocable, not the Talaqi Ba'in. Why is that? Because you just said that when you use the word majaz and it's understood as free, as majaz is used as sabab, shouldn't you be able to choose which one you want to do from these two? Why have you said it's irrevocable? This is a tangential question, but it appears. And it goes back to what I just said before. So the Hanafi Fuqaha, they reply in the same way, that the word free is not a cause for all types of divorce. Rather, it's a cause for a divorce that results in what's called zawalu milk mut'a, that the removal of sexual rights, the diminishing, if you like, or the right to benefit from the wife. And this can only happen when you give this divorce, because you can't come back to your wife. That's what free means. I freed you. I no longer have any access to you. Right, I don't own you anymore. Because if you give a revocable one, if you think about it, you can take her back, right? You can take your wife back. That's not truly free. Makes sense. So this, the word tahriz is majaz for the complete relinquishing of the ownership. If you give a revocable one, she still has, you still, for example, you still have to provide for her, you still have to give her food, shelter, while she's in her iddah. Irrevocable one, she's no longer your wife at all. Okay. So this is what the author is just dealing with here. I hope that makes sense. It was just a mute point, but I think actually it's quite important because it helps you to understand the complexities and the nuances that's involved here. Let's kind of come to an end, inshallah, very, very soon. So after we dealt with this sort of tangential issue, we come back to isti'ara. Remember, isti'ara is a mechanism through which we do haqiqah and majaz, how we move between them. First of all, you need to establish whether the connection between them is one of sabab, a direct relationship, or one of indirect relationship. So is an illah, direct one, then you can move in both directions. Or is it a sabab, an indirect cause, which means that you can only move from the sabab to the musabab. That's what it's saying. And we've covered that as well. Okay. And this is an example where you can move from the sabab. We've kind of touched upon this already, but I'm going to give you another example just to make it really, really tight and clear. Remember, sabab, musabab allows you that way. In illah, just put it here. You can move in both directions. That's the difference between them. So, illah here and sabab. Okay. So, let's look at the word. Let's bear in mind that the word for freedom, tahrir, is the sabab for talaq. What we said is talaq-e-ba'in. So, this is something that we've already talked about before, and it's this idea of relinquishing ownership. Relinquishing ownership or benefit, if you like. That can only happen in the talaq-e-ba'in. Right. So, say, for example, this is just a really iron out example. Say, for example, a master says to his slave girl, I divorce. I divorce. And he intends to free her. This is not going to work, because what's happening is you can't go in that direction. You can't move from divorce to freedom. You see, that's not allowed when you're looking at it from a suburb perspective. So he could literally use a literal word. So haqiqat, he could use a haqiqi word meaning a majaz. In what way? Because the relationship is a suburb here, and suburb only works from this direction. Okay. Because a suburb can be used to mean the result, but not the other way around. So freedom results in divorce, but not the other way around. Does that make sense? Really simple example, just to show you the difference between illa and man. So this is why it's so important, before you kind of get into details, haqiqi and majaz, there's isti'ara involved, figurative speech, and you need to first and foremost work out whether it's sabab relationship or is an illa relationship. Illa allows you to go between from the cause to the outcome, outcome to the cause. With sabab, you can only go from the cause to the outcome, and not from the outcome back to the cause. You can't do that. This is what we went this. Right, this is how we have explained this. And this also relates to marriage. Let me give you the example of marriage. And this will be in Kitab al-Nikah. We have some time, so I will continue. So here. So if you remember in Kitab al-Nikah, if you haven't covered it, it doesn't matter. I'll explain to you now, inshallah ta'ala. So, in books of fiqh, they'll talk about words like gifting or ownership. They'll use these words. Yeah. Like gifting is hibah. So hibah. And ownership is tamlik. So based on what we've just discussed about sabab and illa, and that you can move from the cause to the outcome, but not from the outcome to the cause. You can conduct a marriage by using these words. Okay. So if a woman says to a man, in the presence of two witnesses, that I gift myself to you, and the man accepts, the marriage will be accepted. So a gift leads to marriage. Not a direct cause, right? But gifting leads to marriage. And this is a suburb then. This is not an illah. Okay. If she says, I enter myself under your ownership, for example, the marriage will be valid for your ownership. You use a majazi word, but it can be used in a literal sense. So that's valid. That's valid. Because the cause and the outcome. Right? It's a right of gratification. Right? Which is what the purpose of marriage is, gratification. Very nice, very simple. Let's use a counter example, maybe. Right, and of course, the whole thing about gifting is that there's this idea of you got access, of use. Or if you say, you know, in the case of slave girls, for example, rights of gratification. Yeah. Right of use. Straightforward. You can see how simple it is when you just get to some examples. When you're doing furu masail, when you're looking at masail in books of fiqh, try and think this way. When the books talk about, you know, hakiki and majaz, you should have isti'ara and you should maybe map it out and draw it out and explain to your students how it works in practice. Okay. So heba can lead to nikah, but it's not directly related, remember. Okay. So for example, you can't say to someone that I'm marrying you, right? For example. So heba is a sabab and it means used to nikah. Okay. And this happens in other examples as well. But the reverse is impermissible. So if one were to try to gift or own or sell something using the word nikah, can't go that way. You can't do that. You can't move from the literal to the majaz. You can't do that. You can do that if it's a direct cause. Because there are many ways that you can give something. There are many ways you can have ownership of something. Does that make sense? This is how it works. Very, very simple. Very, very nice and easy. Inshallah ta'ala. Towards the end, there is a bit of a discussion, which I'm not going to go into because time is running out. Maybe the next lesson I'll come to it. But basically, there's something that we discussed in the previous lessons about these two students of Imam Abu Hanifa the Sahibi. There's an objection to that. Maybe in the next lesson, I'll cover that, inshallah ta'ala. Because we're running out of time. So I'll cover that example in the next lesson, just before we move on. If anyone has any questions, they can ask. Anyone has any questions? Okay, barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, I'll see you all next week. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.